from the dead. We thank you, God. We praise you today. I ask you to touch your people, watching and listening, those here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Shay. Hallelujah. Wow. See, that song, one of my favorites. Man, that's good stuff. Praise God. All right, this morning, the Lord kind of, as he does, so completely changed my direction. So let me, I don't even know what I titled this today. What did I title it? Storms of Doubt and Fear. You know, I'm going to share some of my personal, you know, battle. Because, look, no one, I don't care how much, you know, a person, I know sometimes I appear as if, maybe I appear as if I have it all together. I'm overly confident or change everything. I've seen him provide when provision was needed. I've seen him heal when healing was needed. I've seen him deliver from a demonic attack when that was needed. I've seen God do great things, many things. And still, there are times that I get discouraged. There are times that I wrestle with my own doubts and fears. And I know where they come from, though. But the battle is real. The battle is real. And I don't ever want anybody to think that Pastor Dean has it in his head that he's better than anybody or has it all together. Because sometimes I can just tell you I have very, very bad days and sometimes very bad weeks when I'm wrestling with the devil and in a, I guess you would say, a storm of doubt and fear. I mean, I'll be honest, even stepping out and taking this whole building is was a financial step of faith, talking about starting a school, a ministry school in the fall, and that seems, I mean, overwhelming. And I know the Holy Spirit's saying doing it, but I feel absolutely overwhelmed, inadequate, unprepared, terrified, right? To do this conference in the fall, the Skyfall conference. We've done a conference before, but nothing as big as this has become. The responsibility, and I just want to tell everybody, I take the responsibility as a minister of the gospel to feed the church of God. I take that very seriously. And so, I mean, many times I feel absolutely overwhelmed. And I've had one of those weeks where the devil brought the fear, the storm of fear and doubt. Have I bitten off more than I can chew? And then I remind myself, but God, I know you said to do these things. And I know that the Holy Spirit is leading, but I'm still wrestling with the fear and the doubt and the confusion and the satanic attacks. And sometimes it gets so heavy, I just want to run away. I mean, this is easy to run away and say, well, Pastor, you know, you just have a small church. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. I'm going to tell you something about this church. It may be small here, but it's not out there. And I feel that responsibility. And people tell me, I mean, like Shade telling me his story with him and his family and how he came across our videos and how his life has been transformed by the word that he's heard from this church. And that to me is just humbling and terrifying and all at the same time. You know, it's just, I look at that and I thank God for it. And I think, you know, if only they knew how messed up I am. You know what I mean? How I stand before you and how I try to do this ministry in weakness and fear and trembling all the time. And I just want you to know that. I'm just, sometimes, I mean, I want to run away. I mean, Psalm 55, David said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I could fly away and, you know, run away from the responsibility, the feelings of fear and inadequacy and insufficiency and all of those things. So I want you to know, I'm saying this because I know I come across strong and bold and fearless, but I'm not always that way. But I can tell you this much, this one thing I've learned. What do they say in, they, you know, you see them in the war movies. Well, they always tell them, say that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage or faith or acting in faith is when you obey God and step out of the boat in spite of your fear, in spite of the storm, in spite of the doubt. You step out anyway. You obey God anyway. You take the risk. You get out of the boat in the storm. True Christianity, true walking in faith, is not the absence of fear. It's not the absence of doubt. It's not the absence of even discouragement and depression. It is deciding I'm going to press forward in true faith, obeying the Word of God, the written Word of God, and obeying what the Spirit of God is telling me to do, even if it seems impossible. We don't ask the question, do we have enough money to do it? Or should we do it? I've told the story many times. When the Lord told me to come here back to my hometown area and start a church, Nancy and I were as broke as people could be broke. My car had been repossessed. Her car had been repossessed. I had been fired from the only job I had. And she had resigned from the job she had to move to Washington, D.C. to be with me. And then they fired me, again, for standing up for truth and righteousness. But here we were jobless, carless, and about to be homeless. And the Lord says, go start a church. We didn't even have gas money or a car to drive here from Georgia to start a church here. Say, well, you, some people say, well, Lord, you're being a little unreasonable. No, he's not unreasonable. He just doesn't think the way we think. He doesn't say, you know what, guess what? I'm going to make a hole in the wall, and I want you to jump through the hole in the wall. No, he says, jump, and I'll make the hole. That's faith. When the Lord says, jump through the hole in the wall, and there's no hole. When he says, step out, move, do this, do that, quit this job, take that job, move to this town, go to this, do this. You don't sit there and go, well, wait a minute, Lord, I don't have I don't have this, I don't have that. This is what, listen, you want to talk about what holds back Christians from experiencing the power of God and new things that God wants to do in their life is when we let fear and doubt and trying to lean to our own understanding, when we let those things guide us instead of, God, I know you said it, and if you said it to me and you're leading me to do it, then you will make a way where there seems to be no way. But listen, whenever the Lord says something to you, whenever he gives you a word, a direction, whenever he reveals a calling upon your life, and he says, here's where you're here now, and here's where we're going, always in between that is going to be the devil's storm going to go. The devil knows. Now, some people give up in the storm and turn around and go back home. But the people that walk by faith, and this is what I love, we're going to read this story here because I've got some things to bring out. I mean, everybody knows the stories we're going to read in the Bible. But it's one thing to be in the boat in the storm. That's bad enough. But the man or woman of God who has faith says, I'm not satisfied to even make it through the storm in the boat. I want to walk on the water. I want to see the power of God in my life and through my life. See, it's too many. There's a lot of Christians out here today. There's a lot of different denominations and churches. They're satisfied to just try to make it through the storm in the boat. Well, I'm not satisfied just to try to make it through the storm in the boat. I want to see the power and the glory of God and the miracles of God flowing through my life And I know to do that, that I'm going to have to step out of the boat, out of my comfort zone, out of the realm of what I feel, where I might feel safe, to do what God wants me to do. And when I step out of the boat, that's when the miracle happens. Listen, if you can do it in your own strength, or with your own finances, or with your own abilities, or with your own wisdom, it's probably not God. More than likely. But when he starts challenging you to do things that you think you can't do, that are impossible, then you're walking in the realm of faith. Then you're beginning to overcome Satan's storms of doubt and fear. I mean, so, for some of us, it's as simple as the Lord, you know, being in a restaurant and the Lord saying, go over there and tell that person about Jesus. Or, you know, God forbid, start talking about biblical cosmology and the flat earth. Or for some, just mention that demons are real and active today and we need to deal with them in Jesus' name. Or that healing is still available through the blood of Jesus. That miracles can still happen. That the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still for today. Sometimes just saying those things is a step out onto the waters. Let's read this. I want you to see something here. We're going to read a couple of passages. Let's go first to Matthew chapter 8. And I need my water, love. I know I'm walking away, but that's just what I have to do. We all kinds of things going on today. Now, Matthew chapter 8. Now, you have two instances here. We're going to look at Matthew 8, and then we're going to turn to Matthew 14. These are not the same event. These are not the same moment. So let's read this first story here. This is Matthew 8. We're going to read verse 23 through 27. Hallelujah. It says that when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And there arose a great tempest or storm in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, I want to make it clear, this word rebuke here is the same word you see used over and over when Jesus rebuked the devil. Now, a lot of people will try to say, well, the wind and the waves, all that's controlled by God. That's what the Calvinists would say. Of course, it's all the sovereignty of God, so it was the will of God for that storm to be there. Well, then Jesus would be rebuking the will of God if that was true. I believe that storm was sent by the devil. We do know that Satan has a limited ability to manipulate the weather. We see that in the book of Job. God didn't bring the destruction upon Job. God just stepped back and let Satan do it. What did Satan use? The wind. You know, they think it's, this whole weather manipulation. I don't think it's human beings. I think it's Satan and the fallen angels that are manipulating the weather. That's why we can rebuke a storm. I've rebuked storms, even tornadoes, and seen them go around away from us. Or move and go over our house and not destroy it. So this is real, but what we miss in this is that this is early on when the disciples first started following Jesus. And they discovered he wasn't worried about the storm. And he steps up and he rebukes the wind and the waves and it stops. Now, all of this is happening because Jesus is trying to teach them some things. He's trying to give them lessons. Then you go to Matthew 14, which is later on. And in Matthew 14, they find themselves in the similar situation, a situation they already have experience with. Yet, they're right back in doubt and fear in this storm. Let's read it. This is right after Jesus feeds the 5,000. I guess we'll start at verse 22, Matthew 14, 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway or immediately Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Now, I read all of that so I could show you when Jesus tells them to get into the boat this time and to go to the other side, he's not even in the boat. Now, let me explain to you what that's about. There are many, many times the Lord will speak to you, guide you, direct you to step out in faith, to obey him and to do something, and then he will draw back. And you will feel so very alone. He will not give you the Holy Ghost goosebumps. He will not give you the peace, the joy, the feeling, because he's trying to get you to walk by faith and not by sight, not by your five senses, your feeling. He's told you, "We're going to go from here. You're going to the other side. Get in the boat. Go to the other side. I'm not going to be in the boat right now. You just do what I said. Trust me." Think about it. If Jesus says get in the boat and go to the other side, don't you think you're going to make it? Why for one second would we doubt? If Jesus spoke to us and we knew for 100% true fact Jesus spoke, we knew it. He said, "We're going from here. You guys get in the boat. Go to the other side." I would be pretty confident that we're going to make it to the other side, because Jesus said it. He's not sending them to their death. He's not sending them to die in the wind and the waves. But what do? We, just like that, we start looking at all the circumstances around. We get out there. We're, okay, yeah. All right, let's go do what Jesus said to do. Uh-oh. Here comes the devil's, Satan's storms of doubt and fear. And sometimes it's not just doubt and fear. Sometimes it's problems. Problems with people. Problem people. Shade stepped out, and I'll just share this real brief. I won't go into the details, but Shade stepped out to share some things with some people. And they went so far as to do something horrible to the point of even trying to have his kids taken away from him just for what he believed. This is the kind of stuff. You step out. You stepped out and shared the truth with some folks. And then here comes the storm. Here comes the attack. But what happened? God intervened. Really flipped it around on the people who tried that mess. Let me tell you, we're going to see some storms like that. This church, this ministry is going to see some storms. We're stepping out to do this ministry school. We're stepping out to do this conference. We're stepping out. We're going to step out and start doing a lot more street evangelism. You think the devil's not going to start sending the storm of wind and waves and problems? Oh, yeah. And he sends it in the spirit first, and then he starts sending you the people to that he works through. And sometimes it looks bad. I mean, no doubt, sometimes it looks impossible. But you know what? Think about this. If Jesus hadn't told them to get in the boat, we wouldn't even have this story. No, wouldn't we? We wouldn't have this story about faith and trust and the miraculous. And it was a real event, but there's so many profound truths in just this one little event that happened with Jesus and the disciples. Are you willing to step out? Are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to believe God? Are you willing to listen to his voice and do what he says, even if it looks impossible? You say, Lord, there's no way I can do this. I can't afford it. I can't do it. I remember Moses tried that. Remember he tried that I can't business? I can't speak right. I can't talk right. What did the Lord say? Who made man's mouth? Right? Jeremiah tried that. Lord, I'm just a child. I can't speak. I can't go do this. I can't be a prophet. I can't tell them this. I can't do this. Lord said, yeah, you will. That's what he said to Jeremiah. You will go speak to everyone I send you, and if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. We want the Lord to, you can just sit here. You can just sit here and be a little timid wallflower. No, the Lord said, you will do it. Think about Esther. Esther was afraid. She didn't want to go to the king for her people, for her uncle. She didn't want to go to the king. She was afraid. What does the Lord say? Oh, it's okay, sweetie. It'll be okay. You can let fear and doubt keep you right there. No, no, no. What did he tell us? I put you here for such a time as this. And then he says this, if you do not speak, if you do not step up and do what I called you to do, deliverance will come to the Jews from another place. But you and your house will be destroyed. You know, talk about a responsibility. We all have a responsibility to do the will of God that he has, the plan he has for our lives. You say, well, Pastor Dean, I don't know what it is. Well, that means you hadn't spent enough time in prayer and fasting in his word to learn to hear his voice. So that means you need to get in with God and find out his plan, his will, his direction, his calling upon your life so that you can step out of the boat. It's not enough. Listen, let me tell you something. It's not enough to just sit in church. You got to find out what you are called to do and do it. And guess what? That can change. You know, I've served as a youth pastor. I've been a singles minister. I've been an evangelist. I've traveled overseas and preached the gospel and risked my life to preach the gospel. I have emptied my bank account so many times I can't tell you where until I had nothing to do what God told me to do. I've given away my only vehicle I had one time. Give it to this family. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. If we are born again Christians, it's not a matter of, listen, folks, you want to get on tithe. It's not a matter of tithing. Guess what? People get bent out of shape over 10%. I look at New Testament Christianity, and I see times where God says, give everything, sell everything you have, and follow me. You get bent out of shape over 10%. What are you going to do when God says, sell your house, sell your cars, give it away, give away all your stuff, and go where I'm telling you to go? Do what I'm telling you to do. Go to Africa. I remember the Lord told me in 2002, go to Africa and preach the gospel. Go to Africa and preach the gospel for us. Do you know how many thousands of dollars that cost me? And at the time, I didn't have a church. I didn't have supporters. I didn't have anything. It was going to empty my bank account, even put me in debt. And I nearly lost my life there. But it was the will of God. Oh, and when I got back, it wasn't easy for a season. I'm going to tell you. But that month in Africa was one of the most powerful seasons of ministry I've ever seen. I was blown away. I remember them telling me one morning, I would go teach at the seminary, the Pilgrims University, the seminary, to postgraduate students. So I would teach in the mornings, 2 hours, 3 hours, eat lunch. They'd say, oh, we're going across the city of about 6 million people. You're going to preach over there. It's going to be, and this one particular morning, they didn't give me no warning. Oh, by the way, we're going to a healing service. You're going to preach in a healing service. I said, oh, I am. Really? Been nice to know that maybe the night before. But guess what? What does the Bible say? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Be prepared. Be ready. Did I have any Holy Ghost goosebumps? No. In fact, this was about midway through. I was worn out. Worn out. I was preaching three times a day for hours in the heat. There was no air conditioning. It was 90 degrees there in November. I would soak my clothes all the way through, go back to the hotel, change clothes, and do it again later. I show up 10 o'clock in the morning this morning, healing service that I didn't get to prepare for or pray for or study for or anything. 700 plus people there in a church that probably seated 400. Because the church didn't have walls, it just had a metal covering and poles. And it had a cement foundation and chairs all the way to the back and people standing all around the outside. I didn't have any feeling. You know what I had? Faith in the Word. The Lord knew, you know what, I had enough stories, testimonies, and experiences that I could say, you know what, I saw God heal this boy. I saw God heal a boy who fell out of the back of a pickup truck going down the highway and cracked his skull open and was paralyzed and dying and in a coma in the hospital, and went and prayed for him, me and three other young people, and he was instantly healed and went home that day. I've seen that kind of thing. So I just started sharing that stuff. Worn out, no feeling, tired, wanting to go home. Oh, I wanted to come back home. So I'm exhausted. I'm soaked from preaching to build up faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So I preach the word. All I knew, I was soaked all the way through. I have the video of this, actually. So I give the altar call. I'm thinking 10 or 15 people are going to come up to pray and, you know, that have some kind of health problem or physical problem. Everyone came for prayer. I thought, oh, God. And I don't even know. Was it 600, 700, 800? I don't even know how many people. It was just a sea of humanity. And I felt so unprepared, insufficient, inadequate. Doubts rolling over me. What if? What if nobody gets healed? I'm done. You know, I was just kind of thrust into this. You know, and even though I believe in healing, even though I've seen miracles, even though, just like the disciples, even though they'd already been in the boat one time and Jesus stopped the storm, they're in it the second time and they're still. And I'm like, you know, if only people knew what was going through my mind while I'm preaching, getting ready to pray for all these people. And this is what's so wild about it. This is what I'm talking about, stepping out of the boat and just believing God when you don't feel anything, when you feel contrary, when the winds are contrary. And I remember I started going through that crowd praying for people to be healed. And I remember women coming up, and most of them didn't speak English. There was an interpreter. And I remember them having babies and pushing their babies forward for me to pray for them, and I put my hands on their heads, and they'd just be burning up with heat. And I remember praying for people and just through the crowd, and I you know, I felt the power of God flow a few times, but I mean, I can't even communicate with them because most of them in that particular area did not speak any English. So I leave this healing service thinking, did anything happen? So a few days later, I asked Bishop Comos, who was the chancellor and president of the seminary. I said, by the way, I said, that healing service, did anybody get healed? He said, everyone. He said, everyone who came with a sickness or a problem got healed. I'm like, nobody can do that. It wasn't me. No more than it was Peter who was walking on the water. Was that Peter? Did Peter have that ability? Was it Peter's righteousness or holiness or his goodness? No, he was probably the most messed up one of the group. No, he was just willing to step out. He just wanted more than sitting in the boat. He was willing to take the risk. He was the one that was just had, and I believe this is why the Lord loved him. The Lord just really loved Peter, even though he was a screw up. Because he goes, you know, this guy's just crazy enough. He's just bold enough to do what I say. Yeah, Peter, it's me out here. Come on, join me. Who's crazy enough to step out of the boat in a storm? Peter. And the Lord goes, I love this. God's not looking for you to be perfect or have it all together or be sinless or be, you know, or never have any doubt or never have any fear. He's just looking for you to be wild, crazy. Go to Nigeria, son. I know it'll break your bank account. But that's okay. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver and the gold is mine. Give your car away, son. I know you're going to have to walk for a while. Call taxi cabs and have friends take you around. But one day, I'll restore that. Because you know what? What you sow, that shall you also reap. I would tell the Lord that. Lord, I sold a car. A nice, it was in great condition. About $6,000 car. Paid off. I said, I sold a car, Lord, so therefore I shall reap a car. I used to say, I know it'll come. Didn't come in my time, but you know what? Months later, I had 2 cars given to me. You see, you get out and do crazy stuff. The Lord is able to take care. We come here. Man, you want to talk about come here to start this church, the storms that began? I mean, we came here in 2009. I was having to work construction just to barely survive. And then in 2010, working construction, tear my Achilles tendon from my heel. The worst injury I've ever had. And I played football. Now, we had Faith was a little bitty thing. Nancy was not working. She was staying home with Faith and raising Faith, which we're going to do this no matter what it takes. I was the only income. Our church barely made anything. Our rent was $800 a month plus other bills. And nothing pretty much was coming in at that point. I'm 6 months, can't work. And I thought several times, we're just, you know, where we were paying rent, they're going to kick us out. But God would come through. Finances, we were meeting at the condominium that we were renting. I remember somebody leaving money in the silverware drawer. We opened it late and we found it. And people just out of the blue, you know, I remember catching our rent up. Somebody just gave a check and I was like, but what I was getting at is, I still had needed time to recover. We were still, and here a family comes up, a couple, and says, oh, we have this house here in Auburn. We work in Montgomery. we're gonna buy a house in Montgomery so we can not have to commute. We want you to just live in our house for free. We lived in a very nice house in Auburn, rent-free, for 2 years. As I got back on my feet, we got our finances back on our feet, and that's what I'm saying. God, even in the midst of the storm. Now, God didn't do that to my ankle. I did it through my disobedience. It was a storm, though. There's going to be storms. Lord said, we're going from here, we're going to here. In the middle, there's a test coming. Now, we can be like a lot of people and run. A lot of people, you know where a lot of people are running to and hiding? They're just hiding in churches that won't demand anything, that won't challenge anything about how they live, about walking in relationship with the Lord where you hear his voice and you step out and do crazy stuff. True Christianity is terrifying and fun all at the same time. And what I've learned is that one step of obedience always opens the door for something amazing. And then that, if you obey the next step, that opens the door for something else amazing. Doesn't mean it will be easy. I remember, you know, just the challenge I went through. Listen, when God began to reveal to me and open my eyes that I've been blinded to the truth of creation and cosmology and that I didn't really believe the whole Bible. If anybody would come to me and said, Pastor Dean, you don't believe the whole Bible, I would have laughed in their face and said, you're an idiot. Where do you get that from? I've been preaching it for, you know, at that point, almost 30 years. I've been studying it. I believe it. I still believe, you know, I believe things that most of the church doesn't believe. What are you talking about? And then the Lord opens my eyes. Oh, God. No. No, son, it's not spinning. It's not moving. It's flat. It's covered by a dome, firmament. You want to talk about, I mean, wrestling, not with, I saw it. I mean, it was such a Holy Spirit move in my life. Just over that right there, such a revelation, such an awakening that happened. It felt like being born again all over again. It's like, wow, I started restudying the Bible again, everything. And you, it's just amazing. Well, I remember when I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, do you want me to go public with this? I mean, I was convinced. I saw the evidence. I studied the scriptures out. I saw it was scriptural, Bible-based truth. Do you want me to go public with this, to preach this, to teach this? Because I said, I know there's going to be people that are going to think, he's lost it. He's crazy. He's gone into doctrinal error. He's gone off the deep end. And there's still some that believe that. Though I'm still waiting for some of them that challenged me early on, I'm still waiting for the scriptures to prove me wrong. I haven't received any yet. Crickets out there, right? I told one brother, I said, if you know, born again, spirit filled brother, I said, and just telling me I'm wrong, and to the point, he's like, he didn't want to have anything to do with me, and I led him to Jesus 30 years ago. I'll tell you what, you send me your scriptures to prove me wrong. I'm still waiting. That was 2 years ago. I gave him all mine. But just that, I remember asking the Lord, do I talk about this? You know what the Lord spoke to me? Because I said, Lord, I don't want to turn anybody off. If that's a distraction, if it's gonna turn anybody away from the gospel or you know, I'll just keep it to myself. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I sit at my desk at home. I remember he said, have I ever told you to hold back truth, any of my truth? And I said, no, sir. He said, no. He said, well, then you have your answer, son. I said, here we go. And guess what? That's stepping out. When I did that first, public servant. That's stepping out of the boat. Well, let me tell you, obeying God to step out of the boat, just on that issue, has opened so many doors. And I've seen so many people get saved, prodigals come home, lives transform. I don't regret walking through that door. I don't regret stepping out of the boat. Not one bit, not one bit. You say, Pastor Dean, if you had it to do all over again, would you do that again? Back in November of 2015, I would do it again in a heartbeat. People now are saying, it's not just they saying, Pastor Dean, I appreciate that you stand for the truth of biblical creation as it's written, but a lot of people discovered, oh, wait, there's this preacher in a church in Alabama talking about flat earth, biblical cosmology, what? Over and over again, people say, you're the first pastor I've heard even touch this or address this publicly. Over and over again. But then they said, you know what? We started listening to you about creation and flat earth and the firmament and everything. And then we started listening to other stuff. And we realized people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. People have been healed. Prodigals have come home. People have repented of sin. People have come out of... So I wouldn't change a thing. Not a thing. Now, did it bring some storm? Oh, yeah. Brought some storm here. Astronaut in the family there, you know. I mean, our little bitty church, one of my elders, brother-in-law, is an astronaut. How does that happen? He wasn't too happy with our flat earth, biblical cosmology, NASA Elias messages. Of course, he's never been to space, so he'll never go. But he thinks it's real right now. But see, you got to step out. I just shared, and I got to share this. I got plenty. We're not bad. We're okay. And if I offend somebody, I'm sorry. I'm just joking around. Plus, I can't see the hands on the clock are the same color as the clock, so I can't really tell what. Yeah, I was talking about taking it off and painting them white so I could see them. I don't see them. But this is just a cool story. Here's a guy in California. I won't give his name right now. He's a cinematographer in Hollywood. He works with everybody. If it started naming names, the movie stars, the directors. I mean, he works with all of them. I mean, he's been in the business for 21 years, not saved at all, not brought up Catholic, but not even following that, not even going to church, just living, partying, drinking, just living the Hollywood lifestyle. And he says, I wasn't even looking for a sermon. I wasn't looking for preaching. I wasn't looking for, he said, I just stumbled across, he said, I was looking up stuff in aliens, UFOs. And I said, I came out and saw your video. Dome, the throne, Skyfall. And that whole message interweaves the truth of creation with the second coming, the fact that all the stars are going to fall, the sky itself is going to fall. You roll back like a scroll. How Hollywood knows it, and the satanic elite, and the Luciferians know it, and I shared all. And he knows all these people. He knows it's true. He knows they're all Satanists. He told me, I'm surrounded by Satanists. They're everywhere. Bunch of devil worshipers. He said, he even told me, he's driving me crazy. This guy wasn't saved at all. And he said he listened to that video, and the power of God reached out. The presence of God reached out, grabbed him. I've never seen such a violent grab. I mean, God wanted this guy. I'm telling you, because he said I drive down. What is it? What is the highway? Interstate 5. Driving through that whole L.A., Southern California, he said, I never cry. He said, all I do is cry. He listens to every message. He listens to every service. He is born again. Yeah. Oh, he's a baby Christian. He's listening this morning. He'll cuss like a drunk sailor. But God's going to help him for that. But I love the guy. And I'm going to tell you, the love of God, God loved this guy and reached out. And then the other day he calls me and he's like, hey, I didn't even know he has a 3-year-old son. Speech problem. Baby mama wants to send the boy to some overwhelming, crazy speech therapy. And she won't listen to him about Jesus and how his life's being transformed. She can't stand me. Right. I'm the crazy cult leader in Alabama, you know, that's messing up her boyfriend. I said, brother, and hopefully he told me yesterday he's looking at plane tickets to come out and visit us. Gonna bring his camera rig and he said start a documentary. But it's funny because he said, brother, I said, let me tell you something. I said, God is saved. I said, you're born again. You love Jesus. And he's just crying. Loving God, but he's still cussing like a sailor. And I'm just like, it doesn't bother me. You know, I know he's a baby Christian. Doesn't bother me at all. I said, Jesus said this, and so I quoted to him Mark 16:15-20. I said, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And one of the signs says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I said, go lay hands on your son and pray for him in Jesus' name, and the Lord will heal him. You have that power. I mean, he's looking at me, oh, you got, Pastor Dean, the power of the Holy Spirit's on you. I said, no, the power of the Holy Spirit's on you. I don't care how a baby of a Christian you are. I don't care how much you still are messed up. I don't care how much you're still trying to learn and grow. I said, the Holy Spirit is in you now. Lay hands on your son. Pray for him. He just texted me yesterday. He said, my son is fine now. He said, baby mama, she will not accept that it was God. But she will. They might be listening right now. He stepped out of the boat. You know what I love about baby Christians? Sometimes they just don't know any better. They'll step out of the boat. Right? That's what's good, man. That's really good. You know? He just, you know what he said? He told me, he said when he laid hands on his son and he prayed for him to be healed in the name of Jesus. Now this is a guy who hasn't even been to church in years. He said, when I laid hands on my son, he said, I felt this heat and this fire flow down through my arm. Yes! Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. You know, listen, I'm telling you, the Lord told me something about your situation. It's coming. I think there's a wind blowing against it, but I know what it is now. We'll get to that later. But the Lord told me he's healing that boy, and it's going to happen. That's where the Lord said, we're going from here, we're going to the other side. We're going there. We're going to get there. There's a storm in the middle of doubt and fear. And there is a hindrance from the devil. And it's not from you. And it's not from your wife. Sometimes you just got to pray and figure out, what do we need to do? What do we need to rebuke? What do we need to fight? You see, so many times when we get out in the storm, we give up. What happened to Peter? Peter's walking on the water. Shouldn't that be enough? He's walking on water. Physically impossible, right? In the natural, impossible. He's walking on the water with Jesus, hanging out, having a great time. This is amazing. I mean, I know what I'd be saying. This is unreal, man. This is awesome. This is so cool. I can't believe I'm doing this. Jesus, wow. Well, what does he do? He starts looking around. Oh, wait a minute. What am I doing? That's how we can change? This is terrifying. I could drown. So he gets his eyes off Jesus. He gets his eyes on his fear, his doubt, what if, what am I doing out here? What about this storm? And then he sees. Think about that. Power of God, 1 second, helping him walk on the water. Gets his eyes on the physical and on the problems and on the wind and on the waves. He gets his eyes on that. And immediately he drops like a rock, sinks into the water. Everybody focuses on that. Oh, how terrible Peter was. Look at him. He's out there doubting God while I sit here in my first so-and-so church pew, safe and sound, and critique how Peter sunk. Got his eyes off Jesus. I have my eyes on Jesus. I've been going to this church for 30 years. Done nothing for God. You know, Peter sunk. But what does Peter do? It's not the end of the story, is it? Lord, save me. What's the Lord do? Goes and grabs him by the hand, pulls him up. And guess what they're doing again? They're walking on water again, back to the boat. Everybody say this with me. I can fall down, sink. But if I call out to the Lord, we'll be back where we need to be. That's the good news, right? Man, how many times have I stepped out of I'm a boat stepper, man. I am. And how many times have I felt like I was, it's starting to happen. Starting to happen, man. Things God told me 25 and 30 years ago, prophecies over my life from the Lord, from true prophets and apostles and men of God who have been in this thing a lot longer than I have. And I'm starting to see these things come to pass. And then boom. Devil hits me. I mean, sometimes it just feels like the devil. Yeah. I mean, I used to fight. I was in martial arts. I played football. You know that when you get hit in the right spot and the wind gets knocked out of you? And there's nothing you, I don't care how hard you try, you're not breathing. For about a minute, you're just not breathing. Right? That's what the devil does. He comes and he hits us just in the right spot. And it knocks the faith, courage, right out of it. It makes us wonder, am I doing the right thing? Something goes wrong. Get in a financial spot, tough spot. Get in a health spot. You want to talk about faith? You want to talk about being in a spot? How about me? I have some health problems. I need healing, physical healing. Yet I'm still going to preach Jesus heals, and I'm still going to lay hands on people and believe God to heal them, even when I'm not healed yet. Can you do that? I remember the great Azusa Street Revival, William Seymour, who led it, the one-eyed black man, was preaching the restoration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in other tongues before he even had it himself, because he believed God's word, even though he didn't have the experience yet himself. And he was preaching it, and other people started getting baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit before he did. But it was because he preached in faith. Can we step out of the boat? I think there's more. You know, I love God. He gets you to the point. It's like, okay, God, I'm out of the boat, and this is all I can do. And then he'll go, okay, if that's all you can do, then you need me. You need me to add something, so you can't do it. That's what my wife and I were talking about. There's such an absence within modern day Christianity of understanding sacrifice. Sacrifice to do what God says to do. For instance, my uncle passed away this week. And his funeral is tomorrow. And I had planned to go. I knew it was coming. He was 81. And he and my aunt, Loretta, two of my favorite people in the whole world, grew up going out there. I was born in Tulsa, grew up going. We lived here, though. We moved here. My mom was from here. But every summer, we drive to Oklahoma, camp out at Lake Keystone. That's where I learned to ski and fish. I mean, it was just, it's the best of my childhood memories. And even growing up, I would still go, even when I was in college, and I would go visit Aunt Loretta and Uncle Lee. And, but you know something? And this is something, this is what I'm talking about. I could have been selfish. You know, I'm going to the funeral. But Shade and his family were coming all the way from Canada here to just be with us, be baptized here, be in the service. Other people were coming to visit. And it wasn't a hard decision. I said, there's no way I can leave the living. But how many people, they make it, oh, it's about me. No, I'm hopping on a plane. I'm going to Tulsa. No. As much as I would love to be there, I'm glad I'm right here, right now. That's just a small thing. In 2008, the Lord told me to take the church in Washington, D.C. Do you think I wanted to move? My two girls lived with their mother who had left. Do you think I wanted to be 800 miles away from them? I agonized over it. I knew God wanted me to go take that church and pastor that church. I helped them start the church in 2003. They wanted me to do it then. I wouldn't leave. God didn't give me permission. Then he said, I want you to go in 2008. I want you to do this. I have no idea how long it's going to last. In fact, I signed a 2-year contract with them. So I'm taking this. It's 2 years. Of course, I made the caveat in the contract that I could fly back and visit my girls, but still, it's not the same. Flying back once a month or once every other, it's not the same. And I was agonizing them. God, I don't want to be away from my girls, Caitlin and Beth. I don't want to be that far away. You know what the Lord said to me? He said, it's okay. I understand. Your precious little emotions are disturbed. You know what he said to me? He said, this is your cross. You take up your cross and follow. You die to self. You die to your emotion. You die to your own plans. You die to your own. You follow me. You crucify those emotions that are trying to make you disobey. I said, yes, I'll go. Didn't want to go. But it was God. And you know what God did? He just sometimes it's just the Abraham Isaac thing. Go sacrifice your son, Abraham. Gets in the middle of obeying to do it. Stop. Oh, I moved there. I was there from what? August to November. Then they fired me. I was like, hallelujah. I hate Washington, D.C. I'm a Southern boy. I love the South. The Lord told me, he said, they're going to fire you on November 30th. He told me this in October. He said, they're going to fire you on November 30th. And then when they do, I want you to go back to your hometown and start a church. Sure enough, the email comes in. Still have it, I'm sure, somewhere in my email. We're terminating our contract. When I flew back to Thanksgiving, we're terminating our contract with you effective November 30th. Okay. Carless, homeless, and now jobless. Go start a church. But think about if I hadn't obeyed. I think about our little church family. Where would some of you be? I love what Cherie used to say. Cherie, probably downstairs. Cherie said, we didn't know how messed up we were, Pastor Dean, until you came today. No, they thought it was normal for the pastor to drink and have multiple affairs before I came to town and told them, no, no, no. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Oh, Jesus. See the stories we could tell? I need to see it. Actually, 5 after 12. I'm going to stop. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to share one. Let's go to one more passage. Remember, I'm Pentecostal. I get 3 closings. Just one more. I'm going to read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And don't worry about the definition. I'll put notes up. But I want to read this to you. You can check me on the words. You can look up the Greek words on your own. But Paul said this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Remember those words. "And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I can tell you today, as I started this message, those 3 words, "I was with you in weakness, fear, and trembling." The word weakness actually means infirmity of the flesh. It can mean sickness. It can mean disease. It can mean spiritual struggle. So he says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear." The word phobos. If you look this up, the Blue Letter Bible, the Thayer's, it says the fear here is not fear of the devil, not fear of danger. It's talking about the fear that I don't have what it takes to get the job. Listen, if you're a Christian and if you're a minister of the gospel, if you don't have that every now and then, you are in pride. "So I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling," trouble. Man, people say, I want to preach. I want to teach and preach. Really? Just wait. Wait and see. But folks, he said, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power." The word power here is dunamis. It's the miracle power of God, the supernatural power. I don't want to just preach sermons. I don't want to just entice you with wisdom and knowledge. That's not what I want to do. I want you to see, experience, and to flow in the power of the Holy Spirit for yourself. Just like that baby Christian out in Hollywood. He'll never, no matter what happens to him, no matter what storm he goes through, and he's going to go through some. No matter what, he will never forget that it was not Pastor Dean who touched his heart. It was not Pastor Dean who broke through the darkness surrounding him. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that reached out and touched him, and it was the power of the Holy Spirit that flowed through his arm to pray for his son. He will never forget that. So his faith will not be in the enticing or knowledgeable or wisdom of Pastor Dean. It will be in the power of God, the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the Spirit. I don't want your faith in me. God forbid. I want you to know that you know who you know, and you know the power of the one who created the heavens and the earth, and that he lives in you. If you are born again through faith in Jesus Christ, his blood, his resurrection, if you've repented of sin, if you want Jesus to be Lord of your life, then the Holy Spirit is in you. And guess what? You can have more of the Holy Spirit. You can be filled to overflowing. You can have more. There's never an end. Don't ever be satisfied with where you are. It's not greed. I tell people all the time, people think, you know, when Elijah had the anointing and Elisha says, "I want double the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power that was on Elijah. And you could say, oh, he's being greedy little sucker, isn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, one day I was reading that, and the Lord corrected my thinking. He said Elisha wasn't being greedy. Elisha knew he wasn't the man Elijah was, and he needed more. To say you need more of God's glory and power and anointing and spirit is you saying, I know I'm not sufficient in my own strength or what I have now. I need you, Lord. Fill me. Anoint me. Give me your power. I want to see the demonstration of the spirit and power. I want people's faith to be in your power, Jesus, not in my just in my words. Oh, I don't want Christianity that's just a bunch of words. If people aren't getting set free from sin, habits, destructive behavior, if they're not getting free from that, if they're not getting delivered from demons, if they're not getting healed, if their emotions are not getting healed, if they're not getting free from depression and all this crazy stuff that's in the world, what good is it? If the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed. If you are not free, it is because you have not dug in and cried out and stayed after him until you are free or healed or delivered or strong enough to minister to somebody else. Christianity is not to just sit and absorb. Yes, you need to be taught. Yes, you need to hear preaching. Faith comes by the hearing of the word. It's the foolishness of preaching that saves me. It's good. Church is good. Preaching is good. Teaching is good. But it's to fill us up so that we get up and do something with it. Step out of the box. Doesn't matter if you feel weak. Doesn't matter if you have fear. It doesn't matter if you're shaky. You know, it doesn't matter what people will think about. I was in a Steak and Shake one time. The Lord said, turn around and preach to the whole table behind you. Steak and Shake, Montgomery, Alabama. I have witnesses. Table of about 15 to 20 college students. They just left a church meeting and talking about how they were drinking and partying that weekend and having sex with their boyfriends and girlfriends. Yep, right behind me, right behind the preacher. I hear him talking about all this. Just came from church. The Lord said, turn around and preach. And I stood up and I preached to that whole group in the stage for everyone. And I told them, fornicators and drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven. You're not right with God. You must repent of your sin. I can't believe what I'm hearing. Oh, you know why I'm doing this? You could see the terror of God, the shock. And I was giving them the scriptures, boom, 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 boom. To the point, the young man in front of me stands up and punches me in the chest. Now, he might have weighed 140 pounds soaking wet. Okay? It didn't even move me backward. It was felt like kind of a breeze blowing. Now, I had two of my elders. One was an ex-Marine who was an MP in the Marines. Man, he could pick up full beer kegs and load them on trucks. He stepped in front of me. He's about as wide as he stepped in front of me. I said, it's okay. Because the guy was drawing back. He's going to hit me. I said, it's okay. It's okay. My two elders, I said, y'all step back. It's all right. But what was so funny, he punches me, right, and he's standing there. And he's kind of in my face, and I look around him. I go, well, I guess we see who the Christians are here. That was worse than anything I said. And you know what happened? Some people took him over in the corner and talked to him. I continued talking to the whole group. No, Pastor Dean, I couldn't do that. He could. Who cares what anybody thought? Why would we let that? Why would we let fear? Why would we let what people think? In fact, probably most of the people in there were very entertained. Like, wow, I hadn't had this much fun at Steak and Shake in a long time. Free promo for Steak and Shake. Step out of the boat. If you step out of the boat, just obey what God says. Just do things out of your comfort zone. Power of God will work. I'm afraid to pray for people, they won't get healed. Well, if you never will pray for them and lay hands on them, no one will. Not through you, any. Jesus has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And any Christian or church that tells you that he's not, they're lying. And if they'll lie to you about that, they'll lie to you about other things too. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Sorry about our technical problems. I have no idea. I don't know if it's a cord went bad all of a sudden. Everything was working fine this week. But, Dave, do you want to come play for just a minute? I'm going to just play while I do this part here. I want to say this morning, he's just going to play for a minute. And if you need prayer, I just want you to come stand up here somewhere before we leave. I'm going to pray for you. If it's for healing, just let me know. Say, Pastor Dean, I want to pray for healing. If it's for something else, just let me know. All right? But we'll pray for you before we go. Let me pray real quick. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the truth. I thank you that you have not changed, that your anointing and power is still the same, today and forever. You want us to step out of the boat. You want us to overcome the storms of doubt and fear. Lord, I ask you to bless those here today, those watching and listening. If you need prayer, you can step up here now.
You are. Come as. be still. Cause earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burden, just lay down your shame. Cause all you are broken, just lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, go, cause you're not too lay down your heart, come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Love me even when I don't deserve it. through every single sin, you are forgiven. I am forgiven. We are forgiven. Yeah.
There is nothing better. Well, there is nothing better to know that you're loved and you're forgiven. There's nothing better. Wow, that's a great song. Where did that song come from? Who is that?
It's written by Crowder.
Wow, that's good. I've missed that one somehow. That's really good. Praise be to God. Listen, before we go, we're going to have baptism. You know, we're going to have fellowship. We're going to eat first. And then we're going to do the baptism. So I hope everybody can stay. But we have Robert Medford is watching and said his back is killing him. I want everybody in this church today right now to pray and agree and ask for healing power to flow into Robert Medford to heal his back. I want everybody to agree with me. Just bow your heads and pray for Robert right now for healing, that Jesus will heal. Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord, that you have not changed. God, we thank you. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that these signs shall follow them that believe. And Lord, we would lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, we can't lay hands on Robert. You said that if we agree in prayer, Lord, if any two of us agree in prayer, Lord, we can believe, we can ask, and it'll be done. So Lord, this church right now, Fire and Grace Church, everyone here today, Lord, we pray and ask, God, for your healing power to flow now into Robert Medford's back in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray for this back to be healed, all pain to go, for every vertebrae, the disc, everything, the nerve, everything to be restored, made whole, the pain to cease, and the back to be healed and strengthened in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. You are the healer, and we thank you. You're the Savior, the healer, and by your stripes we were healed. And that's what your word says, Isaiah 53:5. By your stripes we were healed. Lord, you went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we thank you for healing. We thank you, Lord, for touching Robert. And Lord, if there's anybody else watching, listening, that's sick or in pain or going through something, I just pray for healing power to flow. We believe you heal. We believe, God, in your miracle power, that you intervene in people's lives. So we pray that that healing power of Jesus Christ will flow to them in Jesus' name. Thank you for it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, we are going to be dismissed. We'll be going downstairs. You can go downstairs this way, or if you need to go outside and go around, if you got stuff to bring in or whatever, it's down there, but we're going to go straight from here down there and eat lunch together, and then we'll have our baptismal service. God bless. Y'all hug some necks, too. Praise God. Wow. That was perfect, though. That was beautiful. Yeah.